Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci, the Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the Podcasters, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to all. Of course, we were off on Thursday and Friday as far as the podcast is concerned. It'll be a similar schedule this week. We'll do a show Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, of course, New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve show. We'll sort of preview the weekend so people can tune in on Thursday and Friday and listen to the shows. But there's a hell of a lot of stuff going on in the sports world right now, despite the fact that it's the holidays, and specifically the college football world. We are now just days away from the college football playoffs resuming. The Michigan Wolverines have hired Kyle Whittingham. They play the Texas Longhorns in a couple of days as well. We've got some big-time bowl games coming up still. The Big Ten continues to dominate in a bowl season. And the National Football League, we've got a couple of games in which the stakes could not be higher this week. We got our boy Mo Khan, who's calling some NCAA basketball today and this week. And we've got our boy, the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart, who's ready to rock, not calling NCAA basketball games this week. What's going on, Mo? How you doing? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, guys. I'm on the mend. I was a bit sick watching football last week, but a couple of NCAA games today and tomorrow for women's basketball. That's way to end off the year and look forward to the NFL playoffs and college bowl games this week.
Yeah, there's obviously some sort of virus that is going around everywhere, as we saw that even the Chicago Bears were affected by it last night. Other football teams affected by illnesses as well. It's a terrible time of the year to be hit with this if your season is on the line. But college football, the big news of the weekend, Mo, was Kyle Whittingham being hired by the Michigan Wolverines. In hindsight, it almost seems like it was too obvious, in which people did not actually just connect the dots right away that, you know what, hey, maybe Kyle Whittingham will be the guy at Michigan. I think some people thought that Kyle Whittingham was done, that had enough of college football, but no, he didn't have enough of college football. He had just had enough of the Utah Utes and, you know, was sort of spinning his wheels. He gets one last opportunity here with the Michigan Wolverines. But one thing, Mo, and I told you and I told everybody this about, oh, there's going to be some mass exodus and this and that. They didn't lose one player. They literally, not one player on the Michigan Wolverines that was already on the team left. Think about that. Yeah. That's how special of a unit they are. And also, I think, too, people are kind of naive to think that anyone will go to Michigan because of Sherrone Moore. like the school, the institution, and the money that they're getting paid, it wasn't bigger than a coach. And a last thought about this, too, is the players are super excited about this in Ann Arbor right now. They saw how they just lived through this, guys. Like, you don't think if you're Bryce Underwood, you saw what was going on and were thinking, what the hell did I do? Like, man, I came back here, but I'm not getting coached. The coaches don't talk to each other. Sherrone Moore is insane. Like, there was just, it wasn't a healthy situation. Like, every player to a man is coming up and saying, oh, I really look forward to being coached this year. They all say the same thing. I really look forward to being developed. I really look forward to being coached. Now, with Coach Whittingham, it's been a slam dunk. It's one of those instances in which somehow a scandal turned into a positive for Michigan, Mo.
It did. I think they were able to they faced guys and how it kind of played out, right? Because they're ready for Kalen DeBoer. That said no. Dillingham said no. I'm going to stay at ASU. And other guys who may have been on target.
They never spoke with Dillingham. It was all media stuff. So it's never true. Dillingham has said himself. He goes, I never spoke. Nobody ever contacted me. Nobody from Michigan ever even tried to contact me. It was just all media stuff. And it was good for him because he ended up getting a contract extension and more money.
And you know what, Gabe? I was reading an article this morning on The Athletic. And I think Whittingham is the fourth oldest coach to be hired by P4 in the last like 20 years after Belichick and others before them, right? My question for Whittingham, and look, I told you this game on Twitter. Had this been 10 years ago, I would have said it's a grand slam. I think it's a home run. I think it's a home run from the perspective that, hey, they can get things in order and get this cleaned up here. But how long will he be there for? Can he get the kids to buy into what he's going to preach and try to get this Michigan team back to where they want to be, being a blue blood of the Big Ten and, of course, being a national power?
Yeah, we have Coach Bowden on every week. And we were talking to him about – I brought up Whittingham's age. I said Whittingham is 66 years old. And first thing, without missing a beat, he said, my father didn't win a championship till he was 63. And if you look at all the top coaches, for the most part, they're old, like just point blank, like in the NFL, like, you know what I mean? In college as well, college basketball, not many young coaches actually win, to be honest with you, Mo. So I don't think like 66 isn't old in the modern era. And let's be real. Like, you know, we're not looking for a coach for the next 10 years, right? In the landscape of college sports right now, stuff changes pretty quickly. He's got a 5-year deal. It's perfect. It's a fix for Michigan. And also it's one shot for Whittingham to legitimately have a national championship chance here.
And Gabe, I think he looks great for his age. If you take a look, he's not some big, fat, older guy. Like the guy's like, he's pretty cut. Like he's one of those guys. I think he's a young, older type of coach. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. This guy won 188 games at Utah. You know what I mean? Like, look at his record.
Well,
like
let me ask, Cam, if Nick Saban wanted to coach this year, would people tell Nick Saban you're too old because you're 71 years old?
Yeah, like Whittingham looks like, Mo, you look at this guy. Like, the guy's like, he's wearing shirts tight. Like, he's not some typical old beat-down guy. Like, he's
a motorcycle guy, too. He's a Harley-Davidson guy as well. Yeah,
the guy's like, he's a young guy. Like, people talk about Pete Carroll, Gabe. I think it's a great hire. Personally, this guy won at Utah, not just one. Take a look at the winning percentage, too. It's absolutely off the charts. So, yeah, I think it's a slam dunk for Michigan. And I think they'll, yeah, hey, 5-year deal, whatever, and then they'll have somebody new. But I'm going to tell you something. They're going to play for this guy.
Oh, yeah, they're going to play for him. Like I said, they're fired up. Everybody's fired up about this. And just the quality of staff that he's bringing in, too. Right. Wink Martindale was an NFL guy. Right.
Yes,
Wink Martindale was an NFL guy. He comes into Michigan the last couple of years. Michigan's defense was okay. He had them doing more sort of NFL type systems and schemes and cover twos and stuff. And they weren't as good. Let's just call it out for what it is. I'm not calling Wink out. I'm just stating that it was a strange hire to begin with. Him and Coach Moore did not get along and didn't talk, as anybody that has, you know, followed us and read the Detroit Free Press stories and stuff, in which Moore told Wink Martindale, you're trying to undermine me. And Wink Martindale told him, I'm not trying to undermine you. I'm trying to freaking coach the kids on this team because nobody else is. Like, that's how bad it was, basically. Like, he had guys coming to him saying, hey, coach, you know, what about this and what about that? And Moore flipped out. Don't coach kids behind my back. I'm the head coach. Moore was like, you and all the other coaches are trying to undermine me and steal my job. And Wink Martindale laughed at him and said, you know, I'm like 70 years old. I'm not trying to be a head coach anywhere. Like, he basically said, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Like, it was bad, bad. I feel bad for Moore. I really do. Like, I really like how quickly all this happened. And like, he's got to be on like serious, like life watch. Like, this guy's life is really falling apart, and it's going to get worse. It's like, this thing it's not over yet because the lawsuits haven't started. So wait till, you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be more public humiliation for him coming, which isn't good. But it's a cold world, guys. I seen how quickly Michigan washed their hands of it and stuff like that. And like, well, I'll just say one last thing. Ward Manuel, the athletic director of Michigan, this guy's lucky. Because, like, he's taking credit. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm the one that, you know, fired Moore, and I'm the one that hired Whittingham. He's acting like he's just in complete control of everything. It's like there's no way in hell you didn't know about the Moore situation, and everybody knows that you were part of the cover-up. Yet, I guess the school has just had enough, and he's going to dodge the bullet. But last thing, guys, about the football game, they're playing Texas this week. Everything has changed now with Michigan. Like I said, they haven't had like a million opt-outs or anything. They have three players that are stepped aside for the NFL draft. So you got three guys that stepped aside for the NFL draft. It's pretty much all the starters are playing. Everybody is playing. Everybody is very happy about Kyle Whittingham coming in. And they like Biff Poggi as well. So, and Biff Poggi said that our game plan, now everybody says this, but I kind of believe him. He said, we're going to have a lot of fun against Texas. We're not holding back. And we've got a lot of tricks up our sleeve. Like, basically, he said the kids love the game plan. They're looking to have fun here. And anyone's paying attention, the Texas Longhorns actually are the ones with, like, drama as well. Like, they're firing coaches. They've had a lot of transfers. Whistler. They've got kids opting out for the National Football League.
Yep.
Texas seemed less interested in this game than Michigan do, to be honest with you. And there seems to be this big perception about, oh, Michigan are in chaos. I'm suddenly loving Michigan plus the 7.5 now. But let's get to Mo's college football plays before we get him out of here. He's got to get ready to do some games here. So Wednesday night, New Year's Eve, Miami, Florida. They're getting 9 points against the Ohio State Buckeyes. Total 41.5. I'm really looking forward to this game. I'm going to be on live Sports Grid on New Year's Eve doing this game. Mo, what's your pick for Miami, Florida, and Ohio State?
Miami, look, Miami's played very tough, guys. I think Ohio State's going to win the game, but I think Miami's going to definitely do some damage to that point spread. 9.5 is really rich, guys. I think it'll be over, but just barely. But I think Ohio State does prevail and move on to the semifinals.
At first, when I watched Miami play Texas A&M, I said out loud that there's no, like, either one of these teams is going to be in big trouble against Ohio State. But I was kind of speaking in the moment out of frustration, I think, at the time. I do believe that Miami's defense can stop Ohio State and at least contain Ohio State. The question is, Mo, will Miami's offense, what will Miami's offense do? Like, we saw Miami's offense really struggled against Texas A&M. Okay, that game was in Texas A&M. But yeah, playing Ohio State on a neutral field is as hard as playing against Texas A&M at Texas A&M. So, like, you're not getting any sort of, like, well, we're not, this is going to be easier. No, it's not going to be any easier.
No,
but Ohio State have been off for a couple of weeks. And quite frankly, Ohio State's offense isn't that explosive either, to be honest with you, Mo.
No, but it's their defense. It's Matt Patricia that's made things difficult, right, for a lot of quarterbacks. Carson Beck is going to have to be really patient in the pocket and not take too many risks. He's got to be really on his game, mentally speaking, here, guys. If he's not, it puts the onus on Fletcher and Tony, those two guys, to be the bell cows. Because for Carson Beck, this is his moment now, guys, to say, hey, I can be a top 2-round pick in the NFL draft if I put together a good test of run here, games I can have dominance in, pass the ball, and being successful winning the football game for Miami.
All right, so you say Ohio State is going to win.
Yes.
But Miami is going to cover the point spread.
They will cover the point spread indeed.
Normally these games aren't close. Like, everyone bitched about the other games. Oh, JMU and stuff like that. But Ohio State did play close with Texas last year, we saw. Right. And, you know, even Michigan, guys, and Michigan had a hell of a lot of problems, as we see with Coach Moore. They were in that game, if you remember, Cam. Like, that wasn't a blowout.
Big time.
Michigan's offense just couldn't do anything. And then but finally, mid-third quarter, all right, the wheels started to fall off. But, you know what I mean? Michigan hung around with them. Like, basically, one thing I'll say, guys, about this is, and I know Ohio State well, if you try to out-finesse Ohio State, you're dead. Like, it won't work if you try to get cute. Oh, we're going to run trick plays, and oh, we're going to outscore them, or we're going to do this or that. They'll eat you alive. The only way, they're like the, they're like any bully Ohio State. The only way to play them is to man up and punch them in the mouth. Like, you got to just sort of run right at them all the time. Don't go sideways. Don't get cute. Just really play simple. Run the ball up the middle and try to wear them out, football. And quite frankly, Miami are as physical as they get. Like, Miami's offensive line is one of the most physical offensive line in college football. You talked about their backs. They run hard. They're physical. Their defense is nasty as hell. So I like it from a Miami, like, matchup perspective, guys, that it's not like, okay, we're going to have to worry about the run and shoot. Oh, okay, they're going to hang 48 on us. We're going to have to score. It's like, no, this to me is just like sort of like an NFL game, man. They're going to line up and just beat the crap out of each other. And whoever wins the line of scrimmage, I am worried about Beck making a mistake, turning the ball over at a critical time. I trust Saiyan, even though he's younger, more than I trust Carson Beck. But on a neutral field, I think this game is going to be a good one. I don't think Miami are going to get run out of the building. I really don't. All right, Texas Tech. And me and Cam give our picks. Obviously, we got time, but we'll get Mo's picks before we get them out of here. Texas Tech and Oregon, Mo. Another classic. We're playing at the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day morning. What's your pick for Texas Tech and Oregon, the game of the day?
I got Oregon, guys. I told you that the path for Oregon to get to the national title game is a lot easier than the other teams on the brackets. I think Oregon does win. I think they'd rather win easily over the Red Raiders.
Cam, what are you leaning with Oregon and Texas Tech right now?
I'm actually looking at Texas Tech. I think they can play with Oregon. I think it's going to be an absolute awesome game. I would not be shocked, despite, you know, Texas Tech's defense is actually a little bit underrated. We know what Oregon can do, Gabe. I think it's going to be a seesaw affair. I'm going to take the underdog in this spot. I know it's plus 2.5. It feels pretty juicy to think, hey, the Ducks could win by 3, but I think Texas Tech can upset them. I think Texas Tech is going to win this game by 4 points. So give me the Red Raiders in the upset. Small upset, but I'm going to take them.
I think the Oregon's experience in big games will be the difference here. This is Texas Tech. Like, Texas Tech played BYU twice this year. All right, they played BYU. Give them credit for the win. BYU were good. But this is a step up now. You're not playing BYU in Dallas now, right? Now you're playing the Oregon Ducks on a neutral field. You're out of your comfort zone. How will Oregon deal with going to the Florida is an interesting case, but Oregon got rocked last year in the Rose Bowl. Like, I think they'll be ready with that bad taste in their mouth after last year and in past year's failures. I think Lanning is ready for some success in the playoffs. Georgia and Ole Miss. I was watching ESPN, and they were breaking down the games, and their panel voted. They said, oh, what's the game of the day? But I guess we shouldn't be shocked, Mo. They're so SEC biased at ESPN.
I don't know what gave it away.
The game of the day was Georgia and Ole Miss. Yeah.
I don't know what gave it away.
They're like, oh, without a doubt, guys, the game of the day is Georgia Ole Miss. I was thinking, that's kind of the least, like, sexy one, to be honest.
I agree. But,
like, okay. Because Indiana and Alabama's flashy. But what's your pick for Georgia and Ole Miss, Mo? And it's 6.5 the spread.
Out of the 4 bowl games, this is the most expensive ticket right now to the Sugar Bowl with these 2 teams going at it. I have no reason. I have no idea why, but I guess it is what it is. Right now,
it's close.
But again, I just find the Rose Bowl is my go-to bowl game. Anyway, with Ole Miss and Georgia, what it'll come down to is the line play right now. Can the Ole Miss running game get going against Georgia? They can't get going against Georgia with the running game. And you put on Chambliss to beat Georgia. I know this is not the same Bulldogs of 2, 3, 4 years ago when they went back-to-back here. I do think the Bulldogs will win outright over the Rebs and get to the semifinal here. I just think that for Kirby Smart, he's one of those guys that loves to play the underdog card here and take away the sweetheart move here. And remember, him and Pete Golden know each other from the days of Alabama, but he knows how he operates on both sides of the football.
It's a good...
I got Georgia going to the national championship game. So I've got them winning this football game. I've got Oregon playing Georgia, as I've told people over and over, in the final. Although I do fear Indiana. And if it's no Oregon, I do think – because, look, if Indiana and Oregon both win, they're playing each other.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to be playing each other to go to the national championship game. So it's going to be one of them, in my opinion. But What about Indiana and Alabama, Mo, for you?
I'm going to Alabama, guys. If you had to get Alabama, we're supposed to be out in Norman. Yeah.
Wow. Look,
yeah, because I'll tell you this right now, guys. When we were all watching the game, and we spoke about it last week, and Bama was down 17-0, everyone wrote off Alabama, saying they're finished, they're done. And, of course, it's going to be DeBoer, the head coach of Michigan, by Saturday morning. No one got it. Oklahoma had a chance to kill him. They couldn't kill him off. And you talk about this Bama team here, and it still has elements of Saban's roster on this core group right here. They're going to lean on IU. And I think for Kirk Schenetti here, you talk about being cute. At this point, he's got to play smash mouth football and not rely on Mendoza to be the go-to guy. If he cannot get a running game against Bama, I think they're tied in this game at the Rose Bowl, and they move on to the semifinals.
It's crazy to say that Alabama are being undervalued and or like have the chip on their shoulder and stuff, but they are. No one believes in them. People, they shouldn't be in the playoffs. The DeBoer stuff, the Dillingham stuff wasn't real. I think the DeBoer stuff was. I think Michigan wanted to see what happened in the playoffs before they jumped at Whittingham with DeBoer. I don't think they ever spoke to DeBoer personally, but I think they spoke with the agent and stuff. And I don't think DeBoer wanted to leave Alabama, like just point blank. He just got there. Like, he's only been there a year and a half. Like, he's in the playoffs here right now. People are sleeping on him. I just think Indiana are just so damn good. It's hard to get in front of the Indiana Hoosiers right now, but it doesn't automatically mean they're going to win the football game by 7 points. All right, NFL football. We're down to the final week of regular season play. And we've got some critical football games as far as top seeds and to get into the playoffs, division titles on the line. Starting off on Saturday, Carolina and Tampa Bay. What's your pick, Mo, in Tampa for the division title? Buccaneers laying 3.
Bucs have had one win since the month of October. That's crazy when you think about that, guys. I think the Bucs do win and cover. They are due to win this game here, guys. West Side game against Miami yesterday. They didn't play the best football. They haven't played great football the last 4 or 5 weeks here. But I think right now, Big Mayfield, he knows what's on line for him. His legacy to be an elite quarterback. And also for that core group, guys, I know they're banged up, but they have the matchups in their favor when it comes to the skill positions. And if that D-line can play well, get Bryce Young off his access point, they should win this game and win the NFC South.
I think Carolina missed their opportunity. Yep. They had their chances over the last couple of weeks to nail this thing down. And now they have to go to Tampa, where in a one-game setting, I think it's going to be tough for Tampa to beat Tampa, even though they're not that good. Either way, though, either one of these teams would get bounced quickly. They're going to have to play the Rams or the Niners or the Seahawks. Like, it's not going to be a fun time for either the Buccaneers or the Panthers, whoever get in. Seattle Seahawks, Mo. Seattle at San Francisco on Saturday night. Seattle are actually 1-point favorites in this football game.
Give me the Seahawks. Cam, I think your Seahawks proved a lot to me, especially going on the road to Carolina like they did and to win that game. They got the confidence right now. I think the Niners are playing with house money. You talk about their defense. They gave up 38 points to the Bears. Think about the Seahawks right now. Sam Darnold is almost deja vu from last year to this year, right? A chance to win the number one seed here. If he plays simple, he plays effective, they can win this football game, because as much as they rely on the offense to win for San Fran, that defense for the Seahawks isn't the Bears' defense. They are much better, more skilled, more depth to work with. They can contain that attack of Purdy and McCaffrey. And if you stop McCaffrey, it makes it a lot easier for the Seahawks to win this football game on the road and get the number one seed going to the NFC this year.
Yeah, we'll get into the Seahawks-Niner game in a couple of minutes with Cam, and the Seahawks and a Panther game from yesterday. The Green Bay Packers are getting 6.5 points at Minnesota this week in just sort of a strange type of game. Bears are 2.5-point favorites over the Detroit Lions. Chargers and Broncos playing for seeding. So you've got a bunch of sort of seeding type of games. But the other big game, the Baltimore Ravens, 3-point road favorites at Pittsburgh, Mo. Sunday night football.
Pittsburgh had the chance. They did. And I think they're going to, unfortunately, come to an end. They had the chance to kill off the Browns, couldn't do it. That missed field goal by Boswell, I think, deflated them early in the fourth quarter, and they were chasing the points afterwards here. I think for Baltimore, if Lamar comes back and he's playing maybe at 65-70% healthy, that gives him the edge in this football game here. And I think for Baltimore, it's going to be low scoring, guys. Take the under for sure. I think Baltimore does cover it, and they do move on to the NFL playoffs.
Here's a hot take. I would start Huntley even if Lamar was ready to go.
But what does that say about your morale and direction of the team?
They're not going to. I get it, but I would almost like Lamar's not even that good anymore. Like I'm just saying, like
Snoop Huntley's fine. Gabe,
he kind of screwed though because both Huntley could get you in, and then you have to start Lamar after because if he can play, he's going to play. But I'm just stating that if I'm Baltimore, I'm not worried about like I almost don't want Lamar coming back. How is he going to play off the injury, Mo? At least I know what I'm going to get from Huntley.
You know, with Snoop, he's going to keep it simple and effective, right? If Derrick Henry has anything close to what he did against Green Bay next Sunday night, that's going to be a big factor for why Baltimore advances through. And think about it right now for Pittsburgh, DK Metcalf pulling a Draymond Green as he did in Detroit, that's going to hurt them because they don't have the dynamism on offense to keep up and have that creativity that they were lacking against Cleveland last Sunday. So I just think right now for how it's built up for Baltimore – backs against the wall, I think they do advance, and that might lessen the noise about Lamar and the Ravens moving forward here.
Hey, Mo, you're in Champlain. Can my boy Pete Annapolis get – I saw he got honored there, huh?
He did. He got honored as a Hall of Famer about four or five months ago.
Does he have, like, a banner up there or something like that?
I think it is somewhere in here. I got to look for it. I'll take a picture for you once I walk these Howard Hall at some point during the games here. But, yes, he did get – inducted to the Hall of Fame back in May or June of this past summer.
There's been a lot of great players that have played at Champlain over the years. And we'll wrap it up with the Hawaii Bowl, which was an electric one. One of the best Hawaii Bowls in recent memory. Super fun game, back and forth. Great performances by both teams. And the winning touchdown caught by Nick Senekal from Montreal, Mo. Speaking of Vanier and Montreal. So what a big play for him! What a special moment for him!
It definitely was, guys. And we spoke about Hawaii since week one, guys. All of us from a gambling perspective and how they were as a win-loss team. And for Senekal to do what he did to win it on the final play was incredible. A Montreal kid who was a last-second recruit by Timmy Chang. Timmy Chang was recruiting someone else, and he saw this kid pop up on the highlight films. And who was this kid over here? And he gave him a last-second offer in the summer of 2022 in July. He enrolled in the rest is history, guys. And you know what, man? He's a great kid who will be definitely on the CFL radars and probably get an NFL look or two along the way next spring.
I like the way the announcer when he scored. He goes, he's from Montreal and the other side of the world. Like, and they were like, it's sort of like, you know, he's from Montreal, Canada. The way he said, I would have told the guys, be like, you know, Montreal, Canada is like 15 minutes from the U.S. border, right? Like, some there's the stupidity of people just sort of enrages me. Mo, good luck with the game.
Thank you so much, guys.
We'll see you next week. Happy New Year, Mo.
Hey, guys, thanks so much, guys. This is probably one of the best times I have every Monday doing this podcast with you guys. You two are the OGs. I have a lot of people who listen to this podcast, and they go, I cannot believe you work with Gabe and Cam every Monday afternoon. I go, guys, it's literally a Harvard education I'm getting from these two gentlemen every week.
Well, we're a street university.
School of Hard Knocks.
There you go.
I appreciate it, Mo. All the best.
Always,
Mo.
Guys.
Happy to
job, Mo. We'll speak next week, guys. Take care. Thanks, guys. Take care.
There's Mo Codd with us. He's at Champlain College right now on location as there's an NCAA women's basketball tournament going on right now. As Montreal's been hosting a men's tournament as well over the last couple of years. Montreal's a hot basketball city. It's a lot of guys in the NBA. Like you could actually have a starting five from Montreal in the NBA right now, which is pretty wild because being from Montreal, I remember the days in which there was one guy and it was a pretty good guy, but there was one guy and he was like the legend, Bill Wennington.
Yeah, I love Bill Wennington. Amazing.
Yeah, it was like, oh yeah, Bill Wennington. Yes. Oh, the guy, yeah, he's from Beaconsfield. He's like from the, you know, West Island of Montreal. Very good college player with St. John's. And then of course, he had a nice run with the Chicago Bulls. If you're going to end up on a team, it was a pretty good team to end up on. Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, and the Chicago Bulls. But thing with that was, if you were on the Bulls, there was no free pass. So it wasn't like, oh, yeah, if you're Bill Wennington, it was like, oh, yeah, you know what? He just sat on the bench, and it was easy for him, and he watched Mike. Like, anybody that knows, like, I know time has passed now, but if you're unaware, like, Michael Jordan was insane. Like, he was a jerk in practice with players. He was a jerk with his teammates, like, all the time. So, like, you had to be really, really mentally tough. And you couldn't make mistakes if you were on the Bulls. Otherwise, like, Jordan would punch you. Like, literally and figuratively, as the story was, in which he punched Steve Kerr in the face. Which people on the team were not happy about. Like, Kerr's smaller than he is, too. Right? It's like, and Steve Kerr, Cam's like the nicest guy, too, right? Right. It's like, dude, what are you attacking Steve Kerr for?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But, like, Steve Kerr melt back. Like, they got into it in a practice, and Jordan just punched him in the face. Like, Jordan was insane. Like, he was a jerk. You know what I mean? Like, very Kobe-like, which Kobe would show up to practices and just braid everybody. Kobe would just basically tell him, you're terrible, you suck, you're an embarrassment. Like,
Jordan's still prickly today, Gabe, when he does all that golf stuff. Like, he hates the interviews. He's like, it's not like the autographs. He's just like, man, he just wants out there and golf, and he just wants to take people's money. Like, he does not like dealing with people.
He's a little softer now, which goes to show how, like, he used to be.
He's prickly, though.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not like, he's not a jovial type person.
Yes, exactly.
Like, unless you really know him and you're in his, like, real inner circle, but... It was funny, though. Jordan is suing NASCAR. And Jordan's, like, trying to save, like, NASCAR. He says, like, the system's broken. And he's not the only one. Like, so there's a bunch of owners that are – Michael Jordan, people don't know, owns a NASCAR team. And Jordan's got issues with rules and blah, 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 and, you know, the future of the sport and all this type of stuff. Don't forget, Jordan's from North Carolina, so he loves NASCAR, this guy. And –
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
So he's in court, and it was really funny. The other day in court, like, there's fans waiting outside the courthouse and stuff all the time. And Jordan, like, gets out of his, like, SUV and stuff. And one of the fans keeps on playing the Chicago Bull intro music. And you're dun, 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 to the Alan Parsons. Dong, dong, dong.
That's amazing.
He plays it. He starts the music when Jordan gets out of his SUV every day.
That's awesome.
And Jordan finally cracked up the other day to the music.
That's wicked.
He sort of grinned the first time. He had a little grin. Like, because it caught him off guard. You know, you're going to courts like 9 in the morning.
So
he had a
cool.
serious face on.
I love this guy.
Kid's playing the music. Jordan kind of grinned a little bit, like, but he didn't want to break character. And then finally, later in the week, it, like, coming out, he started laughing. Like, he was just awesome. Like, man, this is too much.
Like, how did that guy think about music? That? You know what I mean? That's so cool. Like, it says, yeah, I'm going to play the Bulls intro music. Like, that's wicked.
Yeah,
that's
because so he's cool. got this log walk up to the stairs and every sort of music's playing because he's
that's
walking
so
up the
awesome.
Stairs.
That's great.
And Jordan started laughing finally the other day about it. So, yeah, Saturday night, I'm actually really surprised, like, about the point spread. Like, the Seattle Seahawks, 1-point favorites at San Francisco. We just saw San Francisco survive a wild football game on Sunday Night Football. Man, everything is at stake here, Cam. This is it. I mean, Seattle could end up with the top seed.
Gabe, I'm going to tell you, Gabe.
In the NFC.
You saw what happened in that Carolina game, too. There was a couple mistakes made. I know there was an interception that Seattle should have got the ball. The Carolina player's foot was on the line. They didn't get a couple calls, but it didn't rattle them in that game. And that's the thing, like, Carolina was hanging in Seattle. Their defense just kept on pounding and pounding and pounding. And eventually they got it together, forcing turnovers. Here's the thing. San Francisco, they're a very electric team. You know, Purdy throwing for 6 touchdowns. They got McCaffrey. But one thing is, Seattle's defense is much better than San Francisco's. And I also think they're a way better team from week one, where they lost a heartbreaker to these guys because they didn't go for it. And it was a real tight one. I'm going to tell you, Gabe, I think the line's there for a reason. I think Seattle's a little bit better than San Francisco. I know it's going to be a dogfight, but I like Seattle in this spot. They've proven it all year. It doesn't matter. Home, away, these situations, divisional games, coming back against the Rams. I'm taking the Seahawks. I think they win this game against San Francisco.
I think they can win the game. I think the point spread's crazy. I wouldn't have, like,
what would you have, San Fran 1.5? You'd flip it?
I would have San Francisco as, like, 3-point favorites, wow. I hope. Yeah, the same point, like our Seattle, what's different than, like, the Bears game? The only, you know, the difference is here, the Bears' offense was freaking lethal, and their defense couldn't stop anything. Mm-hmm. Seattle is like the opposite. Seattle's defense, you're not hanging 42 or 48 or whatever. Like, you're not hanging out on this Seattle Seahawk defense. But Carolina were in that game yesterday. Mm-hmm. Their defense saved them. Charbonnet and Walker saved them. And let's be real, man. It started to happen again, Cam. Like, Sam Darnold is a turnover machine.
I know.
There were multiple times yesterday in which he got saved. The one inbounds was inbounds, so they gave him that turnover. There was another one where, listen, but Josh Allen did the same thing. So it's almost like people pick on, like, Sam Darnold, or, like, circle Sam Darnold's mistakes. Like, he's the only quarterback in the NFL that does these things. Because he's not. Right? Like, a good example is yesterday, if you remember, Cam, there was the play, and I was surprised that they let it stand as a fumble. There was a play earlier in the game, guys, with Seattle, Carolina yesterday, where Sam Darnold kind of threw the ball forward, except the ball slipped out of his hand. Like, you could tell, like, anyone who was watching it knows. It was like, yeah, that's not a forward pass. Like, his hand was going forward, but the ball, like, just like sort of, it didn't, like, it came out of his hand. Like, he kind of dropped it out as he was throwing it. We've seen over the years a million times this has happened, and they always say forward pass. And in fact, Dean Blandino was doing the game yesterday, and Brady was doing the game. And Brady, I don't know if Brady didn't like the comment, or Brady didn't comment on it, though. Like, and Blandino even said, this is just like your tuck play.
Tom, yes.
Yeah, Blandino goes, this is very similar to your tuck play, Tom, in which, you know, it was called a forward pass. Like, Blandino was surprised that they called it a fumble. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, according to the tuck rule, like, you got, Tom. And Tom didn't say anything about it after.
Tom's still raging. It's like, shut up, dude.
Tom would have said, hey, get over it. Or would have said, like, exactly. Ha-ha. Like, no, but Brady didn't comment on it. He just sort of kept on talking over it. But Blandino was surprised and even goes, yeah, you know what? Normally they kind of call out a forward pass, even though we knew it wasn't, right? So I was really surprised. I thought the refs did a really good job, actually, yesterday in that Seattle game, in the sense that they were like, no, 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 he wasn't trying to pass it. That's a fumble. And then later on, there was like an interception in the end zone that I thought, oh, damn. Like, the announcers even said, oh, his foot's out of bounds. When we come back, it won't be an interception. And I tweeted right away, and I said, no, it will be an interception. I think he's in bounds. Because you can see, Cam, the end zone in Carolina is black. So you can see, like, it was really distinctive of, like, the black and the white line. And I saw his foot come down, like, before the white line. Like, even his toe got in there, I think. I thought the refs did a good job, but Darnold did his best to keep Carolina in that game.
Yes, he did.
Like, there were numerous times where it was like Seattle were going to pull away. It was like, oh, boy, here's a turnover, or quick three and out type of thing. One thing with Seattle, I've always told you guys this, they're very Michigan-like. And if I was Seattle now, Cam, I would really back off. You've got to be able to throw the ball a bit, but I would just go with Charbonnet and Walker. They're the ones that make plays for you. Like, to be honest with you, yesterday, guys, Carolina's defense was stopping Seattle's passing attack. JSN really wasn't doing much. Shaheed wasn't doing much.
Barner did the most.
The tight end was doing some damage, but Darnold was shaky every time he back, you know what I mean? Like, the only thing that really worked for Seattle in the passing attack yesterday were these, like, really quick hits. Darnold is good at, like, throwing a fastball, like, 10 yards in a tight space on a slant. He's got that. He can do a blindfolded where he just drops back and he, like, Darnold can make a couple of really tough throws, but it's very predictable. The other teams know what Seattle are going to do on offense, but even though you know what they're going to do, Cam, you can't really, like, Walker, he busts like a big one every three or four carries. So, like, he'll get like 4 or 5 yards, 3 yards, 3 yards, but he'll give you like a 13-yard run, 17-yard run. And you see Charbonnet is really good in tight spaces. Like, this guy will turn like a 2 yard nothing into like 5 yards all the time. If I was Seattle against San Francisco, I would just run the damn ball like all day long.
You're so
right.
But
I would do that in the playoffs too. I would throw the ball less and less with Darnold.
Okay, exactly. And you look at his numbers, like this guy, Gabe, it's like 150 yards every game type of thing. It's like, just manage the game, Sam. Don't do anything. This is the method to Seattle's madness, Gabe, and great call on the Michigan comparison. Charbonnet also, Michigan and UCLA. He's good in tight spaces. As I talk about chip blocking and just, you know, moving the pile, this is the key. Walker is not used a lot. And everyone in the world's like, why you got to use Walker more? That's the thing about McDonald. He's smart. He's saving them for the playoffs. And the thing about him is he breaks tackles. A lot of the time, the Seattle linemen, Gabe, you saw that game versus Carolina. He's breaking four tackles to gain a couple of yards. It's like, dude, can you protect this guy and give him a hole and he's gone? That's the thing. Walker's going to be fresh heading into these games, Gabe, in the playoffs, and he's going to be a monster out of the backfield for him. You saw him how big he was against the Rams. When this guy's in open space, good luck. That's what I like. I like the two-headed monster with Seattle's running game. And Seattle wants to go old school, like you said. They want to pound you into the ground. It's kind of like Henry when Baltimore was in their prime. Bam, bam, bam. That's what Seattle can do. They want to turn it into a street fight.
I just don't think Seattle should be one-point road favorites against San Francisco.
No, and Gabe, I think they're back. I agree.
Get the number.
I thought the line would be San Francisco 1.5. I think the line would have been flipped, but I think Seattle's better than San Francisco. I'm not just even saying that as a fan. San Francisco's defense has holes. And that's the whole thing. Seattle's defense is better and it travels. I worry about McCaffrey and that offense. They're very, very good. But Seattle's D, every challenge, Gabe, like, you see how good these guys are. They're ball hawks. So I think the defense will be the difference in the game.
So the as far as ramifications are concerned this week, the Denver Broncos beat Kansas City. It wasn't easy, but with the win, the Broncos remain the one seed in the conference. They win the AFC West, and they can nail down the top seed in the AFC with a win against the Chargers this week. But you've got the New England Patriots who play the Dolphins. You know, it's interesting, guys. Like, the Dolphins can sort of surprise teams sometimes, but the Bills losing yesterday wrapped up the division for New England. And from a fan perspective, whatever, the Bills never change. It is what it is. They're terrible. It's amazing to me, Cam, that in short yardage situations, they're as bad as they are. And so earlier in the game, they have first and goal. They run four different plays. Like, they don't have like a go-to play, these guys, which is amazing that they don't. So they run four different plays on first and goal. They get stuffed on the goal line earlier in the game. Second time, they get back down there again. It was a little less adventurous because whatever, they ran the ball once and then finally they said screw it, and Josh Allen just ran the ball up the middle. Then they go for the two. Cam, it's not rocket science. You're on the 2-effing yard line. You just do it again. Like, throw out any cute plays or this or that. It's like, listen, we just had Josh Allen storm his way in from 3 yards out. Just do the same thing again. Like, we're not going to think. We're not coming up with a play call because anything we do sucks. We're just going to simply have a QB sneak here. Just run the tush push. Run the QB sneak. Josh Allen is 6'5", guys. Like, it's almost impossible not to score. Like, fall forward, push him from behind, and he'll fall into the end zone. They don't do it. The Buffalo Bills got stopped on 4th-and-1 against the Kansas City Chiefs, guys, in a playoff game 2 years ago. Right, like on a touch push. Like, it's amazing that the Bills are as bad as they are in short yardage situations. And it shouldn't be that way, right? Everyone's talking about, oh, Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, is a coaching candidate. You can have him. He's terrible. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Like, you know, I could have been the OC with Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow at LSU, okay? in college. Like, oh, he was with Joe Burrow. Yeah, exactly. He was with Joe Burrow. Like, Joe Brady is the most overrated offensive coordinator in the NFL, man. The guy's an idiot. Like, it's all Josh Allen does everything. He saves, like, these bad play calls. They never learn in the goal line. Like, ever. This has been a thing for years and years and years and years with Josh Allen. And another thing is, Josh Allen, no one will say it, but I will. Josh Allen is not a good bad weather quarterback. And it's kind of insane to say this, but it's true. And I've said this for years about him. And everyone, I'm so sick of the cliche of everyone. Oh, you know, you got to know how to throw it like Josh Allen. It was bad weather yesterday. Yeah, was he throwing it well in a bad weather yesterday? No. It's crazy. Josh Allen is not a good, like, really bad weather quarterback. He isn't. Just point blank. And he's even admitted it. Like, he's basically said, like, in the past that he's had a hard time figuring out the wind in this stadium. Like, what it's, you know what I mean? He's not terrible in bad weather, but he struggles. It's not like he doesn't. Look, he fumbled the ball yesterday. He looked like Sam Darnold. He was doing the exact same thing. Like, he was fumbling snaps. He had the forward pass. He threw the ball like it was a fumble. He threw bad interceptions, right? Josh was not himself yesterday. Why? Because it was pouring rain. Like, the Eagles were better at it. Like, you could see, like, Jalen Hurts was throwing these dimes and stuff. You know what I mean? It wasn't pretty, but he was throwing a fastball. They would make a play, and the Bills didn't, right? And then the Bills do their little drama thing where they come back, and, oh, my God, he lose by a single play again or whatever. It was so damn predictable. Only the Bills can manage to score two touchdowns down 13-0 and lose the game. Think about
that. Unreal.
They miss an extra point. And then they go for two, and then they end up losing the game somehow.
I didn't like
that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or even earlier, Cam, you could have kicked a field goal and made it 13-3, exactly. And it would have been a different scenario. Like,
yep.
Whatever McDermott decides, it's always the wrong move all the time.
You know what the crazy thing is, too, Gabe? Do you know how many passes?
They overtime even at this point.
I got right. With you. They held Jalen Hurts to
zero.
They had
all the momentum.
Gabe, in the third quarter, Hurts didn't complete a pass. In the fourth quarter, he was 0 for 7. The Bills came back in that game because the defense was shutting him down. There's no need to go for two. You have the momentum. Your defense finally playing great. You take the damn extra point. You beat him in overtime. The guy didn't complete a pass. He completed 7 in the second quarter, 0 in the third, 0 in the fourth. See his numbers, Gabe? Third quarter, passing 0 for 5, rushing 1 carry, 2 yards. Fourth quarter, 0 for 2, 1 carry, minus 1 yards. The Bills defense stepped up. I'm with you. They never take points. It's always drama. And you know what? The minute that they were going to go for two, I'm like, I even said, I'm watching the game. I go, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. You're starting to play really good defense.
Well, if they were normal, if they were actually not a bunch of useless jackoffs that knew how to score from the 2 yard line, I'd be like, yeah, go for the win right now. But I know, being a Bills fan, how hard it is for us in short yardage situations. Mm-hmm. So I basically said, as they were doing the play, like, please, please, please just run the same play you just did. Like, just do the exact same thing. Just run like Allen right up the middle again, and you'll score. Mm-hmm. Do not throw the ball. Do not just hand it off to Cook. And lo and behold, they throw the ball. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Shakir was wide open. Josh Allen threw the ball into the ground.
Exactly.
Like, he was wide open. That was on Josh Allen. So, like, if Sam Darnold did that, people would flip out. But Darnold sucked. Darnold didn't play well yesterday, but neither did Josh Allen. But people don't focus, oh, they didn't get the two and stuff. All I'll say from a positive, like, from a betting perspective, it angered me, right? I was like, yeah, this is just frustrating because I actually thought they were going to win for sure, and I bet big on them and stuff. So from a betting perspective, it bothered me. But thank God I got it back on the Bear game Sunday night. It's just one of those games that worked out because it was all the props hitting all that. But with the Bills, I don't really care, to be honest with you. It's almost good they lost in a sense. One more loss out of the way, whatever. They play the Jets this week. So you wrap it up with the Jets. It's the final game in Ralph Wilson Stadium at the Ralph and all this. So they'll beat the Jets. They'll have a little emotional moment. And then it just sort of gets real. You get the loss out of your way. Hopefully they figure something out. That's the whole thing, though. McDermott never changes. So it's not like, you know, like McDermott will say, you know, this really isn't working what we're doing on this or that. So let's completely change for the playoffs. Let's surprise people. He's not going to do that. Like, he's more of a, no, we didn't execute the play. I like yesterday what TJ, I think TJ Watt's doing a great job. At first, I thought TJ Watt's voice, JJ Watt, excuse me. I thought JJ Watt's voice was getting lost in the game. Some people's voices don't cut through games well, and it sort of becomes monotone or you can't hear them. I think he's done it. I think they told him. I think he's speaking better. Like, he's projecting. You can't just sort of mumble. Like, if you're an analyst, you got to speak, like, decisively and clearly and loudly. And J.J. Watt's got really good at it. But I think, like, just J.J. Watt, because he's played so recently, he still thinks like a player. So I like his angles about what players are thinking and stuff. But J.J. Watt was talking about speaking with Coach McDonald of the Seahawks. And he told McDonald, basically, the Seattle Seahawks, Cam, under McDonald over the last 2 years, have gone for it on fourth down less than any team in the National Football League.
Correct.
They are the most conservative team in the NFL when it comes to taking chances. And McDonald didn't know it, didn't believe it. I didn't know it. I didn't know that. Like, that they go for it on fourth down less than anyone else in the NFL. But McDonald told J.J. Watt, no, that's not true. I'm not the lead most conservative coach in the NFL. And he goes, that's crazy talk. Like, McDonald basically didn't believe it. And J.J. Watt showed him the chart, basically, and showed him the data. And McDonald literally told him, I'm going to look into this. Like, McDonald, like, didn't like being told this. Like, McDonald got, like, offended type of deal. Like, no, I'm not the most conservative coach in the NFL at all. Like, McDonald was like, that's not true. And J.J. Watt said, no, you actually are. Here are the numbers. And McDonald told him, I'm going to go and talk to the coaching staff about this right now. And he said, like, I'm going to look into this. And he goes, and his exact thing was, I got to look into my model and see about this, because McDonald told him, I don't want to be. He goes, I didn't know I was. He goes, I didn't know this. So then yesterday during the game, it was funny. Seattle went for it once. And Ian Eagle said to J.J. Watt, he goes, you know, it's like McDonald, like, is serious about what he told you, like, that he was offended that he never went for it. So
that's amazing.
Seattle started going for it yesterday, guys. And it was really funny. Like, J.J. Watt told a story earlier in the game about that, and it was later in the game. And Ian Eagle said, hey, J.J., McDonald wasn't kidding. He goes, you really – and it was funny because Ian Eagle told J.J. Watt, he goes, you know, you're single-handedly responsible for them going for it right now. Like, he said, because of you talking to McDonald, McDonald's getting more aggressive now suddenly because he realized that he doesn't go for it as much as he thought he did. But that's the whole thing, guys, like with the numbers. Coaches don't know this stuff, right? Everyone thinks everyone knows everything. It's all like geek stuff. Like, Warren Sharp will know more about like what a team does than a coach will
for
his
sure.
own team.
Yep.
Because they're not looking at this stuff. They're living it, right? They need to be sort of told, oh, yeah, by the way, we're not going for it very much. And then he doesn't believe it. He's like, no, what are you talking about? And then he actually sees. He sees the chart, right? That's why, like, NBA coaches, they all look at the box score at halftime. Like, they will. Like, not like hockey coaches aren't and stuff, like, in the same way, but they will as well. They don't know, right? So it's like, basically, imagine if you're a hockey coach, you want to see the box score after the first period and go, oh, wow. I didn't realize I only played Garland 2 minutes and 58 seconds. You know, I want more Garland. Like, or you sort of look and you're like, man, why is this guy on the ice so much? I didn't want him playing 8 minutes.
Hey,
I knew he was
off.
On the ice. Like, it felt like a long time, but why was he on the ice so much? Like, and same thing, like NBA guys, like, well, NBA coaches will basically look and just see like, man, we're giving up 22 3-point attempts here, guys. Like, so the box scores are big and the charts are big. So I thought it was an interesting story that J.J. Watt caught McDonald off guard with a chart in which McDonald said, I am not the most conservative coach. And it turned out he was. And McDonald started going for it in a game that J.J. Watt was doing yesterday. Jacksonville. Jacksonville been on a hell of a run. Jacksonville can win the division despite the fact that the Titans are like 11. The Texans are 11-2 in their last 13 games. The Jaguars beat the Colts. They can win the AFC South with the win over the Titans. The Steelers and Ravens are playing for the division title and a spot in the playoffs. Texans, after starting a year 0-3, they've won 8 straight games to punch their ticket into the playoffs. Man, there's just so many hot teams right now. Chargers finally lose after losing to the Texans. The Bills are in. This is what's interesting, though. With the Bills losing, they actually fell a seed, which I think was better for them.
Yes.
If you're the Buffalo Bills, but the thing is, it'll change on a weekly basis. And it's better in one sense, but then it isn't better in another sense. Because if you're the Bills, if you're the sixth team, you would play the Jacksonville Jaguars in Florida, which I don't think is a good matchup for the Buffalo Bills. I don't want the Bills. I'd rather Bills. I just said Josh Allen's not good in really bad weather, but it was pouring rain and stuff yesterday. Josh Allen in the cold is fine. So the Bills know the Patriots. They can deal with the Patriots. Like, Patriots have two wins against teams with a winning record this year, the same amount as the New York Giants do. So the Buffalo Bills, as of now, would play the Patriots. But the thing is, then they would have to play the Denver Broncos after, which would seriously not be an easy stretch of going to New England and Denver. So I said, yeah, you're not playing Jacksonville. There's really no easy path in the AFC. And I think they could end up playing Jacksonville anyways when it's all said and done. Because the Chargers are playing the Broncos this week. And the Broncos are playing for home field advantage. The Broncos are all in on this game. Chargers are in the playoffs. They're not winning the division. I'm not going to say it's meaningless for the Chargers, but the only thing that matters for the Chargers is whether they're going to end up being like the 5 seed, the 7 seed, the 6 seed, or whatever. And we don't really know, Cam. Coaches are never going to publicly tell you which team they would rather play. But every team always has a team that they would rather play. Right? But you don't want to publicly say it because it'll backfire if you lose to that team. You don't want to give them bulletin board material. So I don't think the Bills, I don't think the Bills are scared of the Patriots. Right? As good as the Patriots season has been, I think the Bills are like, yeah, good. It's a short road trip. It's whatever. Drake May's never been in a playoff game before. You just beat them. You always beat them. Like, as a Bills fan, I don't really fear the Patriots. I fear the Jags more. But if the Bills end up playing in that sort of path, that means they would have to go to the 1 seed team after. They'd be the lowest seed. So the Bills would be on the road for 3 weeks. So long story short, guys, I think it'll be another disappointing end to the year for the Buffalo Bills at some point. Are we really going to win 3 games on the road to make it to the Super Bowl? I doubt it. McDermott and Allen will find a way to screw it up between the two of them. I'm not blaming Josh, but he doesn't find ways to win. And we'll miss an extra point. We'll kick it out of bounds, whatever, dude. Like, we're the Bills. Like, it's just, it is what it is. It's hard to not to look past our never-ending failures in big moments. Like, whether it's in the Super Bowl, whether it's a field goal, whether it's a playoff game, and all we have is 13 seconds, and all we got to do is kick the ball off and win the game, we can't do it, right? Yesterday, oh, we're down 13-0. Hey, we came back. We scored 2 touchdowns. Yeah, we still lost. Like Cam said, Jalen Hurts doesn't complete a pass in the fourth quarter. We still lost. Derek Anderson, we hold him to 24 yards once. Yeah, we still lost. We came the first team ever to like
6-3.
Like, it doesn't matter. Yes. Like, the Bills in the playoffs, Josh Allen, whatever, the defense, everyone can play well, and they'll still find a way to lose. Like, the only way they can win is like they Mr. Magoo this somehow. Like, they fall ass backwards into it, where they blow everybody out and McDermott doesn't have to think. Like, that's the only way the Bills can win, guys. If the Bills play in a close game where decisions need to be made and it's going to come down to a play, like one play, they're never going to win. right? They'll choke. Like, we've seen the history. It's not like a hot take to say that. If the Bills can just sort of cruise, right, and get up, and McDermott doesn't have to make any decisions, then they can win. But it's not easy in the NFL to just cruise. You don't just get to cruise through these football games. So there's the AFC picture. NFC is pretty wild. If Seattle wins, they're the one seed. It's pretty simple. San Francisco could be the one seed as well, still as well. But if San Francisco, now San Francisco would be after beating the Bears, so they're playing for the one seed. It's pretty wild, Cam. Either the Seattle's either the one seed or the five seed. Like, exactly. Such an extreme, like, fall.
I'm going to tell you, though, Gabe, like, on the road, I'm not worried about this team as much, but the one problem that I do have is I want the top seed. I want one last game, because you talk about Sam Darnold stringing together game after game after game. That's going to be hard to do. We've talked about it a lot. But I'm not afraid of this team going on the road. But winning, you know how hard it is, man. And it's a murderer's row. The Rams are going to probably beat the Cardinals. And, I would prefer them to have the one seed. But if it's the five seed, so be it. But that San Francisco game is going to be wild. Like, look at Carolina, Tampa Bay. That's a gong show. Both of those teams had a chance, and now they get to play each other. The NFC, like, it's wild. Like, I you can make a case, like, the Eagles, they're still there. The Rams are awesome. San Francisco is very good. Look at the Bears. They played with San Francisco, and Seattle's
It's pretty
solid.
Much kind of set. Yeah. Like, basically, guys, the Packers are going to be at the Bears. The Rams are going to be at the Eagles. And either San Francisco or Seattle will either one of them is going to have the one seed and the other one is going to be on the road and play at Tampa or at Carolina. So you were just in Carolina. You'd have to go back there next week, Cam.
I'd love it. I think that's a very winnable game. We beat them before. Tampa Bay beat us earlier on in the year, but that was when they were on fire in a 38-35 shootout. So I think Seattle can go there I think they can beat these guys, Gabe. Like, I'm looking at the teams. I'm like, yeah, we can beat the Packers. We can beat the Niners. The Eagles, they're a tough team, but Seattle, I think, could beat them. Like, that's one of those things. I think it's like, it's a free-for-all. And I know the Rams are this team that, a little bit better than everybody else. We'll see. I think Seattle can play with anybody.
We'll break it down throughout the week. Like I said, we'll be on Tuesday and Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But Bannel will join us on Wednesday. We'll break down all the NFL games and the college football playoffs resume on Wednesday and Thursday. Man, their playoff schedule is ridiculously stupid.
It is. It's so dumb. Like, it's ridiculous.
It's too drawn out.
It is.
In which there's no momentum. It should be on a weekly basis. It shouldn't be against the NFL. They shouldn't have had the teams in that they did. It's amazing how hardly they screwed up the college football playoff format this year. Moving forward, you know, they'll make some adjustments, but the game should be good. Like, I don't know, like, there could be blowouts, guys. Like, in past playoff games, there are blowouts still. Like, people all, you know, they're all going to be close games. Not necessarily, but they should be. We've got evenly matched teams. You got, you know, you look at the point spreads that no one's really expected to blow anybody out and stuff. I could see Georgia blowing Ole Miss out personally. I think Ole Miss could be in trouble. I think, like, out of all these teams, I think they're probably the most fraudulent one, Ole Miss, out of, like, these playoff teams. And then you got Alabama-Indiana really could be a fun game. As this football game approaches, I am sort of getting leery of, like, I'm like, damn, man. 7 points, a lot of points to be given a good team like Alabama, I'll tell you that. But we'll hit this tomorrow and on Wednesday. We'll get more into it. And then we got Team Canada's roster reveal on Wednesday night well. So we'll break it down.
That juniors, you talked about it, man. What's the deal with Canada and Latvia? Like, every single time. Like, that was a gong show. Like, Gabe. And USA had problems, too. One goal wins. Woo. Tight stuff.
Yeah, Latvia. I called it before the game on Saturday. When they played, I said on the TV show, they said Canada's playing Latvia, and it's the same thing every time. Canada shoots him like 50-17, and the Latvian goalie stands on his head.
Every year.
And the same thing happened again, where Canada needed to go to overtime as 5.5-goal favorites. They needed overtime. And it wasn't a good look because Canada needed overtime to beat Latvia. And then yesterday, Finland played Latvia and beat them 8-0. So it's like
Finland's they're underrated. That team is good, man.
Like, I'm gonna say this though about Team Canada. We always talk about them, and I've called them out in the past for running the score up on teams, and not just running the score up, but like they'll win 13-0 and they'll be jerks with their celebration and stuff after. Like the Team Canada kids, they're very unlikable. And again this year, it's the same thing. Like, they can't help themselves. Like, it's either, like, sexual lawsuits or, like, they're just a bunch of little, like, dickhead kids. Like, I'm telling you, they're all, like, I'm telling you, like, a top Canadian tier prospect hockey kid. He gets treated, like, he gets treated with kid gloves more than, like, the kids in the royal family in England do.
You're right.
Like, even, like, Kate, the mother, like, she might be the queen, all that. Like, she'll still yell at the kids. Like, there's discipline. Like, you know what I mean? Like these kids, they get treated like such stars at such a young age. They're just a bunch of little dickheads. And so, like, in the first night of the tournament, they were playing the Czech Republic. Canada, for whatever reason, started skating on the Czech Republic's side of the ice before the game. It's like, why are you doing that? Like, that, this, we're not an NHL. This isn't the Nordiques and the Canadians. We're not even allowed to fight. So why are you doing this? Like, why are you trying to instigate? Like, it's just a jerk move. There's a code in hockey. You don't go on the other side of the ice and a warm-up. And if you do in the NHL, you'll get punched in the face, like, point blank. Or, like, my favorite, Cam, is not the punch in the face, is just tee a slap, get a puck fired at
you. Yeah, just exactly.
Someone, an errant warm-up puck, sorry about yes, that, came exactly. in here out of the rink.
Put it right in
That's
the back
That's the
of
ultimate,
shit.
Like, start a brawl, if you yes. tee a shot into the other side of the rink.
Yep.
So Canada, first game of the tournament, supposed to be like a sportsman-like thing. No, you try to get into the Czech kids' faces and get in their side. After, you don't shake their hands. All right, the handshake stuff was like a debacle. It's like, how hard is this? Like, you guys, like, night one, you cause problems, right? Night one's, night two, day two, you're cheap-shotting the Latvians and unsportsmanlike after, Cam, right? And they're just dickheads, these kids. And it's to the point, too, where you know, man, these other countries play so hard against Canada because they know the kids on Canada are little jerks.
Mm-hmm.
And now you get these teams, they're laying their hearts out all the time. And it's not a coincidence. When teams play Canada, they're like, you know what? These guys are assholes. And they're going to run the score up on us if they can. But if we punch them back, they'll get frustrated. And they do. Right? So, like I said, I'm a big international hockey fan and stuff like that. But I will admit, the kids on Canada bother me. Like, I find them to
they're
be
too
very...
cocky.
They're just swarmy little first round draft pick bass little buzzard type kids, and the kids on the USA aren't much classier. All right, so yep. we've created like this, like, hockey monster type stuff of USA, Canada, and blah blah blah, but these other countries are sick of it. And Finland will be a team to keep her eye on in this, and the Swedes as well. There's no, put it this way, I'm glad I didn't bet on Canada plus 105 to win this tournament, because I don't think they will, to be honest with you. The way they're playing and their cockiness, I could see them getting eliminated. But we'll break it down with McInnes tomorrow. He's big on the junior hockey. Follow me online, actually. I'll be posting some picks for the junior hockey. Canada played Denmark in a couple hours. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.